Good evening, and welcome to our WCBC Candidate Forum. Before all local elections, WCBC Radio conducts a live forum of the local candidates to provide our listeners the opportunity to hear the candidates answer questions about how they feel and explain their positions on the important issues, thus giving the local voter a chance to hear the candidate make their case before the upcoming election. Tonight's forum moderators, from WCBC News reporter Kathy Cornwell, joined on the panel by WCBC senior staff member Jim Zamaya, asking questions designed to give you an opportunity to hear the candidates speak out about their position on the issues. Tonight's candidate forum is brought to you in part by the Eagle House Memory Care Assisted Living Facility, providing the utmost care to promote the best quality a resident can attain through their journey. TWR Communications, when you want peace of mind for your family. Kensington Assisted Living, quality of life in a family-like environment. Baltimore Street, downtown Cumberland. And the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street, downtown Cumberland. Tonight's forum will be divided into two parts. First, candidates for Cumberland City Council. Then at 6:30, candidates seeking a seat on the Allegheny County School Board. Let's get started with the candidates for Cumberland City Council. Here are WCBC moderators Kathy Cornwell and Jim Zamais.
Good evening, and welcome to our Candidates Forum. I'm Jim Zamais, along with News Director Kathy Cornwell. Glad you could join us for this forum. We'll be broadcast on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM, and WCBCRadio.com. And we're going to present an informational forum tonight as we approach the 2024 general election. We begin the evening with the candidates for Cumberland City Council. Two seats are open. We will follow with candidates for the Allegheny County Board of Education, where two seats are open. This forum will be rebroadcast on WCBC Monday, November 4th at 5 p.m. Our format will be as follows. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes for an introduction. We will then begin the question and answer segment. Each candidate will be given 2 minutes to respond to each question. We will rotate the candidate order in answering. At the conclusion of this forum, each candidate will be given 2 minutes for a closing statement. This is not a debate, but an informational forum. Our City Council candidates present this evening are Lori Peskin-Marchini, Brian Lepley, D.A. Tenen, and Simeon Younger. Eugene Frazier declined to attend. So let us begin with opening statements. And Brian Lepley, would you please give your opening statement?
Yes, good evening. First of all, I'd like to thank WCBC for having this forum and inviting us here. And thanks to the candidates for being here for this forum. My name is Brian Lepley, and I'm a lifelong resident of Cumberland, Maryland. After I graduated high school, I served my country honorably in the United States Army, where I held a position as a military police officer. Once my time was up, I made the conscious decision to move back to Cumberland. I hold a bachelor's degree in criminal justice and spent 25 years of service with the Cumberland Police Department. While with Cumberland Police Department, I rose to the rank of lieutenant and eventually became the senior lieutenant and the second highest ranking in the department for a short time. I was honored to be part of that department and serve our citizens of Cumberland. During that time, one of the highest honors I received was when I was a member of the domestic violence response team, and we responded and followed up on domestic violence issues throughout our city. This program that we put together, and I was proud to be a part of, was recognized nationally and picked up as a model nationally to work with victims of domestic violence, which I find is a big problem and is a problem here in this community. We were also awarded the domestic violence for our domestic violence work. We were given a governor's citation and recognized by the governor for our work. I was also a founding member of the CERT team. A lot of people know that as a SWAT team, and rose to the rank of commander of that team. I was further recognized by the Maryland National Guard for my work in recruiting veterans to the police department, as well as Allegheny Community College for my work in criminal justice department. I've received a life-saving award for rescuing an individual from a burning building, as well as an award for leading our team, the CERT team, during the civil unrest in Baltimore City. I've graduated from the FBI National Academy and their prestigious Northwestern Police Staff and Command School. Why is that important? I think it shows my leadership and experience and that I am worked within the city.
All right, Brian Lepley, thank you very much. And our next opening statement will come from Lori Marchini.
Thank you, Jim. I wanted to thank WCBC and all who are taking the time to listen. It's very important for the electorate to be informed. Cumberland is my home. I was born and raised here, and I raised my family here. I grew up in a family-owned business right here on Baltimore Street. I attended Western Maryland College, received a master's from University of Baltimore, and a certificate in mind-body medicine. I'm a lifelong community volunteer. I was appointed to City Council in January of 2019 out of 16 candidates and was elected then in November of 2020. I served on the Board of Ed for 8 years, served as president for 2, vice president for 3, and on the Y Board for 13 years, including board president. I'm on the Executive Board for Community Resilience Committee, and I work contractually with Allegheny College, focusing on bringing mind-body medicine skills to our young people. I also serve on the Allegheny County Advisory Board for Community Trust Foundation, and have co-facilitated the Chamber's Leadership Allegheny Rising Government Day for the past 4 years. I currently serve on Historic Preservation, the Downtown Development Commission, Baltimore Street Redevelopment, and its many subcommittees. I also serve on Comptroller Brooke Learman's Work Advisory Group, and I was recently honored by being named to the Daily Record's Top 100 Women in Maryland for 2024, which brings positive recognition to our city. I bring 14 years experience, public service experience, including nearly 6 years with the city, and have developed strong working relationships with our local, state, and federal leaders and their staff. And because of my many years of involvement, I bring a unique insight to our city and the needs of our citizens. Cumberland is turning a corner, and it's more important than ever to elect people who have proven leadership and a proven track record, who have vision and concrete plans to achieving that vision. I humbly ask for your vote on November 5th to keep this positive energy going. There is much, much more to do. Cumberland is my home. It's where I've raised my children, and I want to make it a better place for all of our children, our seniors, our small business owners, and for everyone in between. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori Marchini. Let's now hear from Simeon Younger.
Good evening. Thank you to WCBC, the radio station, and for having this and hosting this. My name, like you said, is Simeon Younger. I don't have the credentials that say that I should probably sit in this seat. However, I am a people person. I'm an advocate for our youth in Cumberland. I strongly believe that our community is not represented properly as a whole. I believe that there's a group of people in our community that take the burden for a lot of things that others can't relate to. My objective in running for city council is to be sure that everyone's voice is heard in the decision making as far as the direction that our city is going in. I'm a lifelong resident. I've been here my entire life, outside of the time that I've spent incarcerated. So once again, I don't fit the normal criteria. I know a lot of people have not necessarily an issue with that, but it's a concern. The time that I spent incarcerated, 25 years, was spent diligently. I educated myself. I took college classes. I did the things necessary to make me, or to allow me to become a positive influence in our community. Since I've been home, that's what I've been doing. I work daily, Glass Service of Cumberland. They give me an opportunity despite my past. And that's what I'm asking the city of Cumberland to do. Give me a chance to represent you. Give me a chance to be your voice and stand with me as we go forward.
Thank you, Simeon Younger. Our next opening statement will come from D.A. Tenen.
Good evening, neighbors. Thank you, WCBC, for inviting me and doing your part in to inform our community. I am D.A. Tenen, and I would like your vote. I am the candidate that has been advocating for you and your families. I am the candidate with a clear vision and wraparound plan for the city to build our economy, investment in our youth, to take care of our seniors and disabled. As a city council member, I will be available to you 5 days a week in office. I say to you, we can and together we will.
D.A. Tenen, thank you for your opening statement. And at this time, we'll now go to our news director, Kathy Cornwell, for the first question. Kathy?
Good evening, candidates, and welcome to the forum. Your first question this evening, and it will be directed to Brian Lepley, who will answer first. Visual progress has occurred with the development of the Rolling Mill, or also known as Cumberland Gateway, at the Maryland Avenue exit off of Interstate 68. This has been a slow-moving project that many citizens have criticized. What are the specifics of your plan for working with the Rolling Mill developer to expedite the work and attract new business to this retail area?
I agree. That has been very slow moving. And I don't think it's this past administration's fault. I think it was the prior administration had made some errors. Now, with that being said, what can we do to move forward and correct this? Is we need to work with our development committee to reach out, not just locally, but across the nation to find businesses and to come here and develop. And that is a great area right there. If anybody knows anything, when you're traveling, on and off exits are huge, and they're big into providing income into your community. And that is a large exit right there. And I think there's some stores going there. We need to continue to try to work and bring in businesses to that location. And not just that exit across the highway there. There's another exit we need to look at. And all the exits, because for the longest time now, our exits haven't been attractive to the community. And I think we need to fix that. And I think this is now starting to turn a corner. And I need to sit down as a council with our development committee and work to continue to build this up and make it attractive coming into our town and our city, and make sure there's plenty of things there for when people get off. And this all will build towards our tax base, jobs, and just luring people to stop here instead of driving past Cumberland.
Thank you, Brian Lepley. Next is Laurie Marchini. Do you need the question again?
Yeah, would you repeat that, okay. Kathy?
Visual progress has occurred with the development of the Rolling Mill, or also known as the Cumberland Gateway property, at the Maryland Avenue exit off Interstate 68. This has been a slow-moving project that many citizens have criticized. What are the specifics of your plan for working with the Rolling Mill developer to expedite the work and attract new businesses to this retail area?
Thank you. Yeah, it has been beyond slow. I cannot tell you there's nobody more frustrated than this city council has been. As said, we did inherit this problem. I wouldn't have agreed to set it up that way if I were on council then, but nevertheless, it was set up, it's done, and we are responsible for it now. And because of the investment, it has to be successful. It just has to be at this point. So the answer is to hold this developer's toes to the fire, to hold him to regular meetings, and to see the progress, both to hear about the progress, but then to go and see the progress. And if it's not being made, then they take advantage of the clawback in the contract. So I met with a developer about a month ago, and there has been progress. There is, there will be a business opening soon, and another one that is under contract, and there is hopes that another will be under contract soon. Can't really speak about that right now. So I do feel like there is some progress being made, but it has been frustratingly slow. But holding his toes to the fire, and if he rewriting the contract has been done recently so that he has to meet certain criteria on a regular basis, and if that's not met, then we are going to have to take next steps and take advantage of the clawback.
Okay, thank you, Laurie Marchini. Next is D.A. Tenen. Do you need the question again?
No. Let's start by Rolling Mills. First, we have to ask ourselves, how are those families doing that was forced out? Secondly, when it comes to development and developers, as a city council member, I will fight for our people who need jobs and those who are struggling here in our city. So there's no developer or contractor that's going to come into our city and bring their entire crew with them as we see Tebow has done. we will have to negotiate contracts with these developers to mandate that at least 50% of Cumberland residents or Allegheny County residents receive employment. That's key. When it comes to bringing in developers and retail stores and things like that, we have to first boost our economy. And to boost our economy, it's not going to be easy. We have to do that from within. I have a wraparound solution for the city. I have three proposals to boost the economy ready to go day one.
Thank you, D.A. Tenen. Simeon Younger, do you need the question?
Thank you. I think that the community would question this and want answers, because I think we see too many projects being done in our communities, not just this one, but others also, that take forever. I work in the construction field. I've literally seen schools go up, 2 and 3 and 4 schools go up before the ground was ever broke to even start this project. So I think that rewriting the contract, or always being willing to rewrite the contract, is maybe an issue. I think we may have to find other developers outside of this region. When you go to other towns outside of this region, you see the great build that's going everywhere. I worked actually in Hagerstown today, and we took a walk around the stadium and seen the development there. It's incredible. Those are the type of things that should be happening here. And I think that with the right developers, because apparently we're using the wrong ones, and I think that working with the development committee, we find developers that are backbone proof, I guess you want to say, that are going to come do the job. As for what Tenen said about the workers, I understand that there's not workers here for them. I understand that those companies have to bring those workers here. So if they have to bring those workers here, I want to make sure that we give them the opportunity to go ahead and stay here, and let's just keep building. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Younger.
All right, we're going to take our first break, and we're in the middle of the City Council Candidate Forum tonight. Glad you could join us on WCBC. And this forum is brought to you by Eagle House, TWR Communications, Kensington Assisted Living, and Country House. We'll be back in just a moment with our four City Council candidates. Stay tuned.
The most talked about radio station in Western Maryland, 1270 AM, WCBC, Cumberland.
When you think computers, think Advantage Computer at 824 Lafayette Avenue in Cumberland. Advantage Computer is your home for great deals on Dell and HP for home or business, with a 1 to 3 year warranty available. Advantage Computer handles service locally on all makes and models, desktop or laptop. Don't throw away that laptop. Advantage Computer can replace laptop screens starting at $99. Once you experience the advantage of Advantage Computer, you'll never go anywhere else. Advantage Computer, 824 Lafayette Avenue, Cumberland.
If you wanted to build a new home, you'd think of Foxcraft. But if you want to make your existing home like new, you should think of First General Services. Because what Foxcraft is to new homes, First General Services is to your home. From masonry and concrete to windows and doors, plumbing and electrical to insulation and drywall, cabinets, countertops, even painting and wallpapering. You need experience you can trust with your home projects. You need First General Services, Contracting and Remodeling, a division of Foxcraft Homes, 301-729-1859.
Need a new deck? Need to replace windows and doors? Need a new sidewalk, porch, patio, or railing? You need CHS Contracting. Having trouble finding a contractor who actually give you an estimate? CHS Contracting will give you a prompt estimate guaranteed. Need a new metal or shingle roof? CHS Contracting is licensed and insured. For a free estimate on your project, call CHS Contracting today, 301-724-1909. Online at chscontracting.net.
Join a vibrant community of passionate learners. Experience innovative education in modern facilities. Embark on a journey of success with endless opportunities. That's the world you'll discover at Allegheny College of Maryland. ACM offers over 80 academic programs that will prepare you for transfer or get you into a well-paying career. Want to move up at your current job? Diversify your skills and enroll in one of ACM's short-term certificate programs or continuing ed courses. Explore and apply now at allegheny.edu.
Stonehaven's Uptown Hound and Laundromat at 543 National Highway LaVale is the place for pets and the people who love them. Featuring an AKC-certified pet spa, self-service pet wash, and an extensive selection of the nation's premier dog and cat supplies. From all-natural and conventional flea and tick control, holistic remedies, toys, training, accessories, and more, our knowledgeable staff can help you keep your pet happy and healthy while you can earn free pet food and litter, too. Near the Cache Valley Light in LaVale, the Uptown Hound, where pets bring their people.
Wake up, Cumberland. Hello, you. Dave Norman here. Weekday mornings on 1270 AM.
WCBC. WCBC. Talk radio you can count on.
And welcome back to our City Council Candidate Forum. Glad you could join us this evening. And we'll start this question with Lori Marchini. Regarding the Memorial Hospital and Allegheny High School developments, what are your thoughts on how the situation with the developers and citizens has been handled, and how do you plan to move forward?
I can't really speak about the Allegheny, former Allegheny High School site, simply because that is a county project. They will have to meet city code, whoever the developer is. I think they have chosen one, but as far as Memorial Hospital site, we were in negotiations with a developer. Unfortunately, it did not go as planned. I'd say the further we got into it, the more that we realized that we were not on the same page and we had different priorities. So we've taken a step back and we'll be looking to go to get an RFP out and look at other developers in the very near future. I think it's good that we're going to start over, because where we were headed with that developer, the project kept changing, and it wasn't really what any of us had envisioned for the Memorial Hospital site. But I think it's really important that we put market rate housing there, and that we can do it as quickly as possible and have different tiers of housing. I'd like to see townhouses there, as well as single family homes and homes that would fit into that neighborhood. It's a beautiful neighborhood there. It's close to Fort Hill and to Washington Middle. It's just such a nice area, and I just want to make sure we do it justice with the right developer.
Thank you, Lori Marchini. D.A. Tenen, do you need the question repeated?
Please.
Certainly. Regarding Memorial Hospital and Allegheny High School site developments, what are your thoughts on how the situation with the developers and citizens have been handled, and how do you plan to move forward?
Well, as Lori, Ms. Marchini said, The Allegheny High School project is a county project. I will be active in helping any way that we possibly can. The city will give help in any way we possibly can. When it comes to the hospital site, I will have to take a closer look at that. I want to go back through the history. I want to look at the contract that was before we enter another contract. What I will say is that before we do anything, if we have to restart, I want to hear from the community. I want to know what the community thinks should be there. A lot of people have issues with the building of these houses or housing complexes. So I want to know what the community wants, and then from there, that's what my vote on the city council would be. What the community want. If the people want half houses and more retail, then that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to side with the people.
Thank you, D.A. Tenen. Simeon Younger.
Well, as already stated, the Allegheny is a county issue. As far as Memorial Hospital site, at our last forum, I spoke somewhat to this, and I believe that realistically, they keep putting that site as this site that can make this big, great impact on our economy by putting houses there or so forth or whatever. And I live in that area. And I just don't know how many houses you plan on putting on the memorial site. I don't know how many houses you plan on putting there that will actually take make an impact or create a dent in our homeless situation. I believe that the reality is that the community there is what it is. I think it's pretty much homeowners. And I believe that our homeless crisis and our housing issues here in Cumberland, Maryland need to be addressed. Yes, this is a way to address it. This is a step in the right direction. I just think that as a community, we want more. We don't want to sit and watch this building. Like I said, we've seen so many projects be built, so many projects be finished, and we're still at the talking table. I want to be able to help move us from the talking table to actually having action being put in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Simeon Younger. Brian Lepley.
So first, I will just address the Allegheny project. Is I know that's a county issue, but I think it's a city. It's in the city, and we need to sit down and be part of it, at least at the table when it's being discussed, and see which direction it goes, because it will impact our citizens. As far as Memorial Hospital site, that's also where the area I live in the Johns Heights area. And to address DA's answer, I've walked that community. I've walked the neighborhoods. I've talked to the neighborhoods. I've talked to neighbors. And I ask, what do you want to see here? And consistently, they want to see single homes and townhouse-type buildings that match up to the neighborhood. And anybody that lives up in the Johns Heights area knows that these houses are very similar in dark brick. And they want something that matches, and they want something nice that's going to bring up the value of the tax base in that area. And I know that this town is in desperate need of new housing. And when you talk to people that come here, that's one of the biggest problems, is we don't have available new housing, upgraded homes. And this is something that we can use this site for. And even if maybe something, and this is just me talking, is a seed home where maybe we build a home as a model to sell. And that way people can see what's available and what they could do if they came here and invested in buying a home there, buying a lot there, and building a home. So that's what I foresee. That's what I would like to see as a council member with the memorial site, and sit down with the developer, reach out to a developer and say, listen, this is what we want. This is what the people want in that neighborhood, and this is going to help attract money and new people to this town, or people to buy in a town or in an area to better themselves in their home. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian Lepley.
Okay, third question tonight, and this will be for D.A. Tinnen first. A new skate park is in the works for the Riverside Sports Complex. What other steps could the city take to provide teenagers with activities that would encourage them to avoid drugs and alcohol and encourage them to remain in the area when they become adults?
Thank you for the question. That's right up my alley there. A skate park is great. I have nothing against the skate park, but as a city council member, day one, proposal ready to go. I want an annual youth fund of $150,000. I want this youth fund to be available to any youth program or any program in the city that provides services to the youth. Right now, the city is not putting a dime, a penny, into the youth development. Once we get that done, these programs, church programs, faith-based programs, the youth will be able to go to these programs, and that will keep them off the street. That will keep them in positive environments. So a skate park is fine. I don't personally skate. But when we talk about keeping the youth out of trouble and away from drugs, there has to be an investment from the city, and I plan to do that day one.
Thank you, D.A. Tinnen. Simeon Younger, do you need the question again?
No, ma'am, I'm good. Thank you. I'm pretty sure I'm confident in saying that I'm probably the only one here that is a skateboarder. I literally have a skateboard in my car. I said that the last forum. However, I also said in the last forum that I believe that the money that's being spent there for a skateboard park could have very well been used to build something that was going to really help our community, our economy base. I'm actually a coach for the Alliance football travel team. We coach, I think, nearly 200 to 250 kids, and we travel. We go all over the country, from Tennessee to parts of West Virginia, Maryland, Virginia, wherever we go, we travel a lot. However, we can't host tournaments here. For whatever reason, there was a tournament here that had to be removed here, and it's now being played in Hagerstown. There are things that could be done here, there, in that very same place that we fought for years to ask and ask for just a field, nothing else, that a field that our youth could actually use. A skateboard park won't be open year-round. A skateboard park will only employ so many employees. A rec center, you could have everything in. Basketball courts, football field, softball fields. Every travel team here in our youth, on our youth level, every team here, every sport that this community plays in has at least two actively participating youth travel teams. They travel throughout the country to play their sport. There's no reason why those tournaments shouldn't be hosted here. As a community, we could host the tournaments, and the city could host the tournaments. It doesn't even have to be one of the individual groups or entities. We could actually do it ourselves. That's my direction.
Thank you, Simeon Younger. Question to you, Brian Lepley.
So with the skate park, I've seen that, you know, it needs some more funding, and I'm 100% behind that. It's come too far to fail now, so we need to support that as a council. I hear a lot of talk about a rec center. I agree. We need something like that in this community. I had kids, and I've traveled to these, Lancaster, Bridgeport, and they have wonderful facilities. And as I stated before, the problem within the city limits of Cumberland, roughly 10.5 miles, where can we build something that large within the footprint that we have in Cumberland City? We don't have that footprint here. We would need to look at that out in the county, and then support the county and work with the county and other entities to make that happen. 100% behind something like that. You know, let's work with what we got. We have the Constitution Park, a great area. We just put a nice walking track up there. Update our ball fields in this community. That's huge. Constitution Park, Riverside. There's other areas here that we can make it better, and that will attract people here to play different tournaments. Mr. Younger spoke of the tournament that left here. I, too, was very disappointed about that leaving here. I do believe at one time, and Simeon, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they turned the lights out on the tournament. The city did that and did not agree with that at all in the middle of the ball game. And this causes a lot of problems. And it did go to Hagerstown, and it has grown tremendously down there. We need to work against things like that. That works in better communication as a city council member with your staff that are assigned or hired by the city to handle those things. That was a disappointment that we lost that, and we got to work together to bring things like that back to this community. So again, we need to improve on what we got. We need to work with our partners in the community and outside our community to bring a rec center here for our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian Lepley. And Laurie Marchini, do you need the question?
Thank you. No, I think okay. I'm good. Thank you. So I have to agree with Brian on much of what he said. The footprint within the city is limited, so we don't have a lot of space to deal with to have the kind of area that we need for a rec center. I traveled with my kids to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and indoor soccer tournaments in Bedford and Altoona all the time. I'd love to have that facility here. But what do we have here? We have Constitution Park, which is truly a diamond in the rough. Now, this administration has taken a lot of time and used ARPA funds to improve the pool, the amphitheater, the duck pond, and also the addition of a bike trail, walking trail. Just a few of the recent improvements. I really want to focus next on the dog park up there and perhaps pickleball courts up there. The city also supports the APES program, which is right catty-cornered across the street, which was started by two policemen, after school program, and all kinds of really great activities there for kids, as well as the robotics. They have their own building now across from former St. John Newman. And The other things that are going on in the city is the Carver Center has recently received a very large donation from Congressman Trone's office, and a Boys and Girls Club will be in there too. And also a new gymnasium, which is a great location that gives access to that community and the youth there. We also have to recognize what we have. We have a wonderful YMCA that is a rec center, and they have had soccer tournaments in there, and that offers activities as well. So I think first we need to take advantage of what we do have. One of the things that I don't hear enough about is the community programs that Wheels Up provides for our kids and for our citizens. I mean, at least once a week. We'll circle back to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori Marchini.
You are listening to the City Council Candidate Forum here on WCBC, and we will stay right here and continue on. Brought to you by Kensington Assisted Living and Country House, TWR Communications, and Eagle House. Simeon Younger will get our first question this time. The city fire and ambulance are frequently called upon to provide aid outside city limits. Given the current pinch on county volunteer resources, what is the best way to assure city residents they are not left without emergency services if needed?
I'm not really familiar with this, so I'll just say that. However, I do believe that the city being able to give those people support is critical. I believe it's something that, however it works out, it needs to be continued, because if they need help, they need help also. And I would hope that the same thing is returned. I would assume that the same thing is returned. And also, I believe that being able to care for your citizens, even in the county, is a responsibility of all of us. I speak often about uplifting fallen humanity, and part of that entails that we have to be willing to reach out and help each other. The division between the county and the city is at times embarrassing. We live in the same place. So I think whatever aid that we assist or we render to the people in the county, I think it should continue, and we should figure it out a way that everyone continues to be beneficial from.
Thank you, Simeon Younger. Brian Lepley.
Yes, this is something I'm familiar with over my years. The solution to that is that, number one, we work well with our partners. I know through my experience that the city fire and the outlying volunteer fire departments and EMS have worked well together. But we've got to make sure that we continue to sit down at the table and discuss this as far as overlap goes and backup goes. If CPD or CFD, I'm sorry, gets alerted to assist LaVale, we've got to make sure that we have a unit still left here in the city to provide assistance to our city, if not have something in place to someone like District 16 or Valley Road to come back in here and set up to continue the service to our citizens, because they pay taxes and expect to have EMS and fire readily available. That's why they live in the city for most people. And we got to sit down with our county and the city and make sure that there's a program and scheduling in place that continues to make sure that the Cumberland residents and citizens are provided the proper care and attention that they pay for, as well as work with our county to support them when there's something going on out there. And in my experiences, it's worked well in the past. There's always going to be giddy-ups, but we work through them, and I think there's always been a good relationship there, and I think we could continue to foster that. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian Lepley. Lori Marchini.
Thank you. I have and will continue to support funding for Cumberland's 24/7 professional public safety departments. It is truly a rarity that a city our size provides service at this level, and we will continuing to do so is really key to our future. Now, and I agree with Brian again that our city and county departments have worked very well together, and will continue to support one another. They back each other up. They know when one's out on a call, and they oftentimes you'll see a Cresap Town fire truck sitting in the Cumberland parking fire area because the Cumberland Fire Department is supporting somewhere else. So they have worked well together, but with the way that things are happening at the county, there will need to be, and probably already have been, serious conversations about a schedule and when backup is needed. But you know, Cumberland has invested about $2.5 million in police equipment for the police department in the past few years, as well as 5.3 for our fire department. So we're in good shape, and as a citizen of Cumberland, you're safe. Your services have not been compromised at all. So I know that we'll do everything we can to support the county, and we have in the past. I don't see any reason for it not to continue.
Thank you, Lori Marchini. D.A. Tenen.
Thank you for the question, but I'm gonna go off track for a second before I answer that question. Both Mr. Lepley and Ms. Marchini say no to a rec center. I'm not sure if you understand. You both disagree that we should have a rec center. I'm not sure if you understand what a rec center is. A rec center is a location that is big enough to fit right here where this building is at right here. We are not talking about a sports or rec complex. We're talking about a rec center that, like they have in Bethesda, Prince George's County, Rockville, and any other major county in the state of Maryland. That is a state-run and state-funded facility. We need that here for our kids. That's where the kids learn how to play chess. That's where the kids learn how to do the debate teams. That's where the kids learn how to technology. That's where they learn how to play basketball. These are the things that I grew up. I grew up in a rec center. The kids need one here. To the question, and I'm sorry, Ms. Marchini, I don't know where you got the information about a Boys and Girls Club going into Carver Center. I don't know. Has that decision been made yet? I thought we were still up in the air about that. When it comes to our EMS and our police department, I will build both. We have to build both. It's a must. With our population, the anticipation of our population doubling or possibly tripling, that is priority. The county and the city right now should work together. That is something I don't think the citizens will have to worry about. The Cumberland EMS and the Cumberland Police Department, I don't think that will be an issue because that is mandatory. That is top of the line. We have to maintain safety, and we have to look out for those who are in need of medical services. Again, like I say, building the economy will solve that. When we build the economy, we get taxpayers in here, that we will have the money to build. Thank you.
Thank you, D.A. Tenen. You're listening to the City Council Candidate Forum, brought to you by Eagle House, TWR Communications, Kensington Assisted Living, and Country House. We'll be back with more on WCBC in just a moment.
WCBC, talk radio you can count on.
Many risk factors for breast cancer we can't control: aging, family history, and the onset of menstruation or menopause. But there are other factors over which we have some control: weight, alcohol consumption, birth control, and hormone replacement therapy. Talk with your doctor.
Gianni's Pizza, Main Street, Frostburg, has great everyday specials, including one 16-inch large one-topping pizza, cheesy bread, and a 2-liter for only $22.99. So call Gianni's today, 301-687-1000. Order a great special. And don't forget, they deliver.
Parkview Liquor's Green Street Flavor of the Day is Sutter Home Wines, 1.5-liter, only $9.99. Flavor of the Day and a great price. Get it today. Parkview Liquor's Green Street. It's Martin Water's 51st anniversary sale. Now through the end of October, save on better water for your entire family. Save up to $500 on select systems. Want to improve your drinking water? Martin's is offering $100 off Kinetico K5 reverse osmosis system. If you purchase a water softener, you may be eligible for a free Kinect salt monitor, which is worth over $150. Special 18 and 48-month financing available to those who qualify now through the end of October. Don't miss out. These deals are mutually exclusive and won't last long. Visit martinwater.com for more details and schedule your free water test today.
Rob Fout here from the Gun Shop in Ridgely, West Virginia. We are a locally owned, family-operated business. We love the outdoors too, so we enjoy helping you find what you need for your next adventure. Rifles, pistols, powder, and primers with many hard-to-find items. 304-738-3219. You just never know what you're going to find at the Gun Shop. Local shop, global presence. Right here in Ridgely, West Virginia. Come see for yourself what everyone is talking about.
Hey, Dad, let's go to the gun shop.
Generations Rehab Group is a local physical therapy practice providing over 30 years of experience, training, and skill in physical, occupational, and speech therapy, which allows them to target conditions that affect aging adults' physical health, activity, and independence. The therapy is provided in the comfort and privacy of the patient's home. If you or a loved one you know needs assistance, call Generations Rehab Group. Medicare and major insurances are accepted. Contact Care Robinson, Rehab Director, 240-609-9594 or at genrehab.com.
Hi, I am Brian Lepley, and I'm running for Cumberland City Council. I'm a lifelong resident of Cumberland and have served the community as a police officer for over 25 years. Support Common Sense Leadership. Vote Lepley on November 5th, paid for by the candidate Brian Lepley.
Why wait in the waiting room for urgent care when there is WellCare on National Highway in LaVale?
Doctor, doctor!
WellCare. Get well quick.
The news.
What's the traffic?
What's the weather?
What's the score?
Live, local, 24 hours a day.
WCVC.
Plug in.
And welcome back to our Candidates Forum. City Council candidates are here tonight, and you are listening to an informational forum. And our next question will come from WCVC News Director Kathy Cornwell.
Before we go to our next question, I do want to give Laurie Marchini a chance to respond to DA Tenen's question about the Boys and Girls Club. Do you know whether that is set in stone?
When I was over there for the presentation of the check, my sources tell me, yeah, the Boys and Club is planning on going in there.
Okay. Thank you, Laurie. Okay. Your next question tonight will be for Brian first. And it is, over the years, several attempts have been made to revitalize the Virginia Avenue corridor. What are your ideas to bring a rebirth of business and housing to this part of Cumberland?
That's a great question. Virginia Avenue has been in need of attention for many years. I know it's been referred to as the second Main Street of Cumberland. And it truly is and was, and I remember being a kid when it was very populous down there. And it really needs the attention. I think this is, again, where we reach out to developers outside this area and say, hey, listen, how are you interested in coming here, and reach out to communities that similar to Cumberland that have been through this. And I keep going back to Lancaster because I was just there not too long ago, and I got to talk to one of their council members, and it seemed like they went through a lot of what we're going through. And we need to reach out to communities like that and say, hey, how did you do this? And we have done a great job downtown, wonderful job. It's time to include the rest of Cumberland, which in my opinion should start now with the Virginia Avenue project. There's a lot of buildings down there that could be restructured, and businesses, there's parking down there. So it's a great area. We just need to work to clean it up and reface these buildings and get the interest down there. And it's a really great area. It's a very walkable area. So it's business and people friendly. So again, reach out to developers, see who's interested, and reach out to our partner and neighbors and see how they fix that type of thing and move forward with it, because I think it'd be great for this community.
Okay. Thank you, Brian Lepley. Laurie Marchini.
Thank you. I'm so glad you asked this, because this has been something I've been speaking about for a while. We did a great job getting grants for the Baltimore Street Project, and I would like to get those same grants for Virginia Avenue, facade grants, rental assistance, technology assistance. Let's see. This is kind of the silver lining of being a poor community, because those buildings are relatively untouched, and in some ways completely untouched. They are ripe for historic tax credits for redevelopment. And that is, we have done a lot of with a lot of tax credits, like for the Wills Creek down here, the Wills Creek Motel on Baltimore Street. That was a perfect example of getting huge credits from Maryland Preservation to help offset the cost of it. So these grants are out there. We need to get that because Virginia Avenue would be a perfect place. And it is our, and always has been our second Main Street. I grew up there too, the G. Ray Light Theater and Packy's Bakery and all the wonderful businesses there. So yeah, it is just absolutely the perfect next step.
Thank you, Laurie Marchini. D.A. Tinnen, do you need the question again?
Please.
Okay, the question is, over the years, several attempts have been made to revitalize the Virginia Avenue corridor. What are your ideas to bring a rebirth of business and housing to this part of Cumberland?
Thank you for that question. What I would say this, I can go on and tell you that we want pretty houses and nice stores and things like that. My focus will be on building the economy. Once we build the economy from within and with my proposals and plans, those things will kind of smooth. People will want to come here. Businesses will want to come here. Right now, they don't want to come here. They look at the economy and say, we're not going there because we're going to be bankrupt. So building our economy, things will kind of fall in place. But what I will say, when it comes to the rebirth of Virginia Avenue, we have some really, really good city workers. Miss Ruth Davis, Matt Miller. I will leave it to those people who find the grants, those people who hire the contractors and do the research to do their job. I have full trust in them and confidence in them. They have done a great job, especially with the downtown area. So my focus will be giving them the resources and the funding that they will need to do their job, and that's by building our economy.
Thank you, D.A. Tinnen. Simeon Younger.
Yes. I also believe that the Virginia Avenue, that's the focus of the current administration, the current mayor and city council. My biggest fear or my biggest concern is the state that Virginia Avenue finds itself in right now today. There is more than enough blight housing, boarded up old businesses. I have a friend who lives in Pittsburgh now, and every time he sees a picture on Facebook or whatnot of a hot dog, he always says, is that Hot Dog City? And I have to remind him that it doesn't exist anymore. To bring people back, that's the type of a war that they want to see. I don't think Hot Dog City is ever coming back. However, I believe that if we're going to be tearing down houses and putting houses up, we can't be a poor community and think that we're building million-dollar homes. We can't tear down the house on the corner of 4th Street and think that that corner is worth $1 million. We have to be realistic. I know that we want to boost our economy by bringing these people to come here and work from home and remotely work and so forth that have good paying jobs into our area. However, I think that we sell ourselves short if we think that we're going to rebuild a building or put up this building and charge someone $250,000 for a house in a drug neighborhood. Let's be blunt. $250,000 for a house that has prostitutes on the very next street. Those are the issues that I think we have to really deal with prior to talking about bringing developers in here to build up our economy, because those people are going to come and see that and they're going to leave.
Thank you, Simeon Younger.
The time is 6:01. You're listening to the City Council Forum on WCBC, brought to you by Eagle House, TWR Communications, Kensington Assisted Living, and Country House. Laurie Marchini will get our first question, and this one deals with vagrancy. There have been increasing problems with vagrancy and homelessness in the city, including issues surrounding George Washington's headquarters on Green Street. What steps do you feel are needed to effectively address such problems?
Thank you. Yeah, homelessness is not a problem that is unique to Cumberland, but it certainly is a growing concern in our city. The recent decision to ban food at the Riverside Parklet, where the George Washington Cabin is, was a difficult one for me. It's not a permanent solution, but rather a short-term way to regain control of a historic property, which has always been a very popular tourist attraction for as long as I can remember. But we need a long-term solution for these folks, a place for these folks to be safe and to help them to find their way. The city does not have the resources to meet the needs of the homeless, and some of their, some people are down on their luck. Some people, it's a substance abuse, their mental health issues. The city does not have the expertise or the resources to do that. So that's why we are partnering with the Union Rescue Mission, Family Crisis Center, and the Y, who do have the expertise. So as far as dealing with the situation that exists now that we have, Maryland laws don't allow loitering enforcement in public places unless a crime is being committed. You can try to move folks along, but you can post no trespassing signs, but they're just not enforceable. So what I would like to do is support adding lights and no trespassing after dark signs, which is enforceable because the cabin is closed. That area is supposed to be closed after dark. And I would encourage people, if you see a crime being committed, call the police. If you feel threatened by anyone down there, please call the police. They will respond, and they'll do the best they can.
Thank you, Lori Marchini. D.A. Tenen, do you need the question repeated?
No, I don't think so. Thanks for the question. What I would say to that question is this. The city not having resources, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable to hear that from a city council member. It's not acceptable to hear that from the city. We need to be in our office 5 days a week working our butts off. Right now, the city council members are in their office once or twice a week. That's why we don't have the resources. As a resident of Cumberland, I see these things and I see how much better we can be and how much better we can do. When it comes to the homeless, I will work with the county, but I'm not going to wait on the county. We have buildings here in Cumberland that we can have that we can build our own homeless shelter. We need a city or a county homeless shelter that does not have the obligations that the Union Rescue Mission has. So we need to be responsible as a city and take care of our people, our homeless, and there are more to come, believe that or not. I think I hit the issue what I needed to say about the homeless issue. When it comes to the park, the George Washington Park, how do you stop someone from eating in a park? How do you stop someone from being in a park, doing daylight hours or doing work hours? I just don't see how we do it. Put a Jiffy John at the park. Have a police officer, ride past the park or walk the park, every 2 hours or whatever to move the crowd along. But, leave these people alone. Leave these people alone. Help these people out. Put a Jiffy John in there if they're urinating or whatever they're doing on the property. Put a Jiffy John. I'm sure they will use it. Help them out. But if we keep putting up resistance to them and keep pushing them and messing with them, they're not going to care about anything we say. They're going to continue to do what they want to do every day. That's the solution right there.
Thank you, D.A. Tenen. Simeon Younger.
Yes. The homeless is a kind of sensitive issue for me. First and foremost, I know that I literally could be homeless tomorrow. It's real. I sat in a council meeting with the homeless, a few people that came in there to represent the homeless when this new ordinance came about. And I heard people scared. I heard people on both sides of the issue scared. The council and mayor explained how the city has put forth like $700,000 towards dealing with this issue. And one of the guys stood up and said, well, if you're putting that much money towards the issue, I know a place where there's $5,000 trailer homes. The homeless need somewhere to go. They don't need an existing Union Rescue Mission. that has limits and decrees that make them have to, if I couldn't go there. I'm a Muslim. So I couldn't go there. If I'm homeless tomorrow, I can't go there because I don't practice the same religion as the owner. I wouldn't attend his one service a week mandate. Those things had to go away. We're talking about really helping people. We need to really help people. Someone's religion shouldn't dictate whether or not they have a shelter over top of their head. They have food in their stomach. The night that the city council had that meeting and discussed this issue, I really wanted to go to McDonald's, Roy Rogers, or somewhere and just buy like a whole bunch of food and go over there and give all of them food. If we don't care about these people.
Thank you, Simeon Younger. Brian Lepley.
Yes, I think we can all agree that homelessness is getting worse, not just in our community, but throughout the country. And it is a problem that we need to deal with. And it's a very delicate balance act that what services we provide to our city and how we're trying to grow our city and attract people versus helping our homeless and the homeless situation that we have. First of all, we got to work with our partners to get these people the help that they need. And because a lot of these people do suffer from mental illness and addiction, and we have to make sure they get the resources they need to get the help if they want it. And that happens to be a concern because some of these people I've seen over here, and I do walk through there, I know these people. I've known them personally, and I know some of these people don't want help at this time. So how do you deal with that? We got to figure it out. You know, years ago, I was part of the NAC Neighborhood Advisory Committee, and I worked within numerous neighborhoods had committees, and they called them all kinds of things, but we worked together, and the NAC was kind of the governing body. And what we did is we went out and we provided people information to where they can seek the help for whatever their affliction may be. And we helped get them there. We worked as community, and we worked in neighborhoods as communities to help these people. You know, we can't just walk away from the George Washington Park, as it is an attraction here. And I know for a fact that there was two busloads of people that were planning to come here and didn't come here due to, unfortunately, feces, needles, crime that has taken place over there. And we need to sit down with our chief of police and our officers and work on that as well. And I know that our police officers and our chief is working in that direction, but resources are limited.
Thank you, Brian Lepley. You're listening to the City Council Candidate Forum. News Director Kathy Cornwell with the next question.
Candidates, this will be your final question for the evening. D.A. Tenen, you will be the first to answer. The River Park at Canal Place is slated to be a multi-million-dollar tourist attraction that could bring 2 million visitors to the area annually when complete. What role, financially or other, do you see the City of Cumberland playing in this development?
Well, as one who has proposals ready to go to boost the economy, if it's going to bring 2.2 million or more to the city, I'm all for it. The city will back it. It will, at the city council meetings, my vote will be for that. Anything that's going to bring that many people to our city, that's only going to help our economy. It's only going to spotlight our city for people who are not from the area to see how beautiful our city is. I'm 100% behind it.
Thank you, D.A. Tenen. Simeon Younger, do you need the question again?
I have it. Thank you. Yes, I believe that project is a very good project. I'm totally behind. I support it. I believe that the amount of money that will flow through this town will greatly affect our economy in the way that it's supposed to. I believe that that project is far, far, far more significant and important than the skateboard park that we spoke about earlier, because it's something that can draw attention and draw attraction and tourists year round. I think that when we go into the, we go to the development table and we're getting that, sitting down with the development committee, I think we also should always be thinking about the long haul. How long is this going to affect our community? How long, how much of an impact, how long is it going to take for the community to see the end result? I think a lot of times we get caught up in right now, and not realizing that some of the decisions that are made for the long haul.
Thank you, Simeon Younger. Brian Lepley, do you need the question?
Yes, please.
The question is, the River Park at Canal Place is slated to be a multi-million dollar tourist attraction that could bring 2 million visitors to the area annually when complete. What role, financially or other, do you see the City of Cumberland playing in this development?
Okay, I ask you to say that again because it really excites me. The River Park is a huge, huge project for this area, a game changer, and actually was the reason that was the straw that broke the camel's back to make me run for council, because I'm a firm believer in it, and I want to see it come to fruition. You know, the city would definitely be invested in this. The city's going to have to lead this project, work with our federal and state partners to get funding, work with the Army Corps of Engineers to get funding for this. I mean, we are so lucky that we have these mountains, these rivers, Willis Creek, and where it comes together right there. That's free. It doesn't cost us anything to have that, and we need to take advantage of it. We have the trails that come together here. Several trails come together right there. That this is something that would be, I tell you, it's a game changer for this area. Not only does it give people things to do, or youth something to do, people will come here, and instead of going to Garrett County and bypass this to go to the lake, they're going to come here and use what we have as a form of the river and the park that we have. It's going to be very neat, and I encourage people to look into it. And, you know, this will also help not just grow down in the canal area, but I foresee it going up Green Street, and you're looking at, you know, Airbnbs and small businesses, and I'm a huge small business proponent, and that's what I want to see. And then it'll travel down the other way into South Cumberland. You know, there's a lot that we could do along that river, and we need to take advantage of it. And I think the city needs to be the leader in this, and I think it's a great step in the right direction.
Thank you, Brian Lepley. Laurie Marchini.
Thank you. The River Project is the single most significant opportunity to enhance tourism and the quality of life for our residents. This project will truly transform Cumberland's downtown, will support our growing outdoor tourism economy, and drive economic impact to the region. In addition, the project will improve water quality, advance wildlife passages, and provide an exciting new downtown river experience. It will increase awareness of our region as a premier outdoor recreation destination. It is estimated to attract more than 1 million additional tourists, and it will also help us to attract an outdoor manufacturer, create new jobs, and expand existing businesses. The single project is a game changer for our area, and the city leaders must continue to support it by keeping it forefront in all of our conversations with our state and federal leaders. It is in the hands of Canal Place. They have hired a consultant to help them through with it, but the city must be on board with it, and the county leaders must be on board with it. It is a game changer, and it would have more impact on our area than anything we've done so far.
Thank you, Laurie Marchini. Thank you all for your answers this evening.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to have our closing statements. You are listening to the City Council Candidate Forum, brought to you by Kensington Assisted Living and Country House, TWR Communications, and Eagle House. It's 6:16 on WCBC.
WCBC, the station you can count on.
Mark's Harness Shop, located on Springs Road in Springs, Pennsylvania, is having their annual Customer Appreciation Day, Friday, October 25th, from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Go out and get your free coffee and donuts. Save 10% off your purchase of most items when you use cash or check. They're waiving the 4% fee when using debit or credit card, but there is no discount. Mark's also carries Pride, Joy, and Victor Dog Foods. They're having a horse nutrition meeting at 7 p.m. with special pricing on Penwood's horse nutrition product. Go to Mark's Harness Shop and save lots of money.
Struggling to save for a vehicle?
Why wait till tax time? Drive today. Tax time is now at D&D Motors. Shopping for a vehicle and doing your taxes is stressful. Let us help with both. Bring in your most recent pay stub and drive away today regardless of credit score. We'll have your taxes processed for free once you receive your W-2. Your taxes will be done, you'll have money in your pocket, and you'll be behind the wheel. Apply online at dd-motors.com. D&D Motors, Route 220 Bel Air and Route 36 George's Creek.
Leaving a legacy for the future is something many of us think about. If you want to leave a lasting impact on Frostburg State University students, including many local students, consider a gift to Frostburg State University through the Frostburg State University Foundation in your estate plan. Call their office at 301-687-4068 for more information and a free estate planning guide. That's 301-687-4068. 4068.
Hunter Douglas Window Fashions from Window Expressions in Frostburg offer beautiful natural light, dressy elegance, even sun protection. Silhouette window shadings, Luminette privacy shears, and Duet Arcatella honeycomb shades are just some of the products offered by Hunter Douglas. Call Window Expressions today for a free consultation and for their drapery cleaning. 301-689-9009. Window Expressions, Broadway, Frostburg.
Judging your health by how you feel can be dangerous. You can be healthy and still not feel well. Proper function controlled by your nervous system is the key to good health. For more information about your health, call Allegheny Chiropractic today. 301-777-0110. Allegheny Chiropractic.
Parkview Liquor's Green Street Flavor of the Day is Sutter Home Wines. 1.5 liter, only $9.99. Flavor of the Day and a great price. Get it today. Parkview Liquors, Green Street.
Why wait in the waiting room for urgent care when there is WellCare on National Highway LaVale?
Doctor, doctor!
WellCare, get well quick.
The most talked about radio station in Western Maryland. 1270 AM, WCBC, Cumberland.
Welcome back to the City Council Candidate Forum. We appreciate you listening tonight. We now are down to our final statements. Simeon Younger will go first.
Again, thank you to WCBC and the radio station for hosting this event. In closing, I would just want to say that I implore on everyone to go out and vote. Too many people think that their vote doesn't count. It doesn't matter. You think you won't be heard? Well, I can tell you that you will be heard. And it starts by going to vote. I had a lot of people in my travels consistently say they're ready for change, and I don't think there's a candidate here that's suited better for change. It's homegrown change. I've changed as an individual, and I want to help in changing our community. I want to help change the outlook of our youth. I want to continue in developing strong youth. I want them to be able to develop the skill sets that are necessary to succeed in life and realize that anything is obtainable. They say they want TI techs IT techs to come to Cumberland. I'm a very big proponent that I believe that we should be making our own IT techs. Our schools should be developing the kids in a fashion that they can go get a job elsewhere and come right back and do what they need to do here. We want IT techs, let's make some. And that I close, thank you.
Thank you very much, Simeon Younger. D.A. Tenen.
Yes, thank you again, and thank you to the people who are out there listening. I would encourage you to call a friend, call a family member, and have them listen as well. This evening, we heard the views of the candidates, but no plans and no solutions. I am the clear choice to stand by the people and move Cumberland forward. Currently, our current city council members have failed the people and will have you believe that they are working for you. Ask yourself, has Lori Marchini proposed anything to better your family's struggles? Ask yourself, has Mr. Frazier opposed or fought to ease your struggles? Ask yourself, how can we move forward if our city council members are out of their office 3 to 4 days a week? It has been a fun ride with little dedication and work. It is time to clean house. The people of Cumberland must stand up and vote for who will invest in their kids, build the economy, fight to make life better for you. I will work inside and outside of Cumberland to make connections and to gain resources. I am D.A. Tennant. I am a single parent struggling like many of you. A vote for me is a vote for the future, the development of our youth, and a government that works for the people. I need your vote and the vote of your family members and your neighbors. We can, and together we will.
Thank you, D.A. Tennant. Lori Marchini, closing statement.
Thank you. Cumberland has experienced real progress over the past 6 years. We have strong positive momentum, and it needs to continue. I've worked closely with city staff to make significant progress for the Baltimore Street renovation, its subcommittees, and historic preservation. I've also been an effective representative for our area by developing relationships with state and federal leaders and their staff. I currently serve on the Comptroller's advisory team and have developed a solid working relationship with Governor Moore, his staff, Congressman Trone and his staff, and have laid the groundwork to continue building relationships with Angela Alsobrooks, Larry Hogan, and April Delaney. I was recently named one of the top 100 women in Maryland, which brings positive recognition to our city as well. I continue to be engaged in many areas of our community and have served in leadership roles in local education, the Y, Community Trust Foundation, Chamber of Commerce, and at ACM. As part of the leadership team for community wellness, I am also in the public schools sharing a model of health and wellness to help build resilience and self-care. It's really important for young people to see an elected person outside of City Hall. And finally, our current council works well as a team. I know all too well how one election can negatively affect the dynamic of a team and the productivity of an elected body. Representation matters. It's important for everyone, and especially for girls, to see women in elected positions. Cumberland is turning a corner, and it's more important than ever to elect people who have a proven leadership and a proven track record, who have a vision and concrete plans to achieving the vision. I want to thank you all for this opportunity, and to all of you who are listening or watching and taking the time out of your busy schedule to pay attention. An informed citizenry is crucial to a functioning democracy and moving Cumberland forward in a positive direction. I humbly ask for your vote on November 5th. Let's keep this momentum going. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori Marchini. Closing statement, Brian Leffler.
Yes, thank WCBC for having this event. Thank the candidates for showing up and having this discussion. I too agree that you have to get out and vote. You know, there are a lot of news about national elections this and national elections that, but honestly, what's the most important election that affects you every day is your local elections, and that is what this is all about. You know, I bring over 25 years of experience for working with the city, within the city, acting as a sheepdog for this community and protecting this community. I've been here through good times, I've been here through bad times, and I want to represent you on the council at this point and continue to move Cumberland forward. Lori's right, this community is changing, it's moving in the right direction, and I want to be part of that. I've been involved in this community for years. I spent 15 years as a wrestling coach, 8 years coaching our peewee football teams, and I've been involved in our youth, and I believe in our youth. I've been honored to be called coach. That's one of the highest honors, in my opinion, you can get, and that's giving back to the community. I've also been involved in numerous charities here, including the FOP, the Shrine Club, Masonic Charities, and numerous other local charities in this area. I'm married, I'm invested. I've been married for 25 years. I have kids. I'm invested in this area. I have not left this area. I want to continue to push forward in this area. I, too, have connections in both local, state, county, and federal government that I will reach out to help gain the grants and the support that we need to move our projects forward. That all being said, my three pillars that I work for or work towards is smart growth in Cumberland to continue to get rid of the blight. Our infrastructure, which I think we didn't talk about today, is in horrible shape and needs total time and attention, and we got to continue to work to fix this infrastructure, because that will be the key to growing this city, as well as support our public safety, which I am a 33-year member of. And again, vote for Brian Lepley on November 3rd or November 5th. Thank you. I really want your support.
Thank you, Brian Lepley. On behalf of WCBC Radio, Kathy and I would like to thank the candidates for participating this evening. This forum will be rebroadcast Monday, November 4th at 5 p.m. Early voting begins tomorrow and runs through October 31st. Election Day is November 5th. Please exercise your rights and vote. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the City Council candidates. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we will have the Allegheny County Board of Education candidates. You're listening to AM 1270 WCBC.
One of America's great radio stations proudly serving the community since 1976. 1270 AM, WCBC Cumberland.
W276DQ Cumberland.
And on the web at WCBCRadio.com.